Word of God this evening, turn to Galatians in chapter number 6. Galatians in chapter number 6. And we are just continuing to look at this war between the flesh and the spirit. And I entitled this evening's sermon, Opposites Are Contrary to One Another. I know that's not what we usually hear about opposites. Usually we hear opposites attract. But according to our text tonight, opposites are contrary to one another. And Paul has been establishing that the flesh and the spirit are opposite of one another. We cannot have the flesh and the spirit together. They don't coexist. They're oil and water, if you will. And we're going to begin reading in verse number 13, and we'll read down through verse number 18. If you'd follow along with me as I read, and beginning in verse number 13, it says, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to another, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law." I want to go back and read verse number 16 because I really believe it's key for us tonight. And many people stop and they say, "How in the world can I overcome the flesh? How can I overcome the work of the flesh in my life? And I have so many things that are holding me down and holding me back and keeping me from having a victorious Christian life." Well, verse number 16 is not hard to understand. But sometimes we struggle to put it into practice. It simply says this. Look at it again with me. "This I say then, walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll just give some thoughts this evening on this walking in the Spirit. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, we just thank you so much for your goodness to us. We thank you for Lord, the Spirit of God that indwells the heart of the believer. Lord, I thank you that, Lord, you convict us. And Lord, you correct us and you love us as a parent, a child. And Lord, by your Spirit, you desire to lead us. You desire us to walk in truth. You desire us to walk in liberty. And Lord God, I pray that we would, learn to choose the Spirit of God as opposed to trying to walk in our flesh. And Lord God, I pray you'd help us tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We understand Paul is talking again here in the book of Galatians. He's not talking to a group of lost people. He's talking to a group of people that would have claimed at one time, and he's very adamant as we've looked throughout the scriptures, that they are believers in Christ Jesus. They're followers of Christ. They'd be religious people. That's who he's talking to. He's not talking to a bunch of lost heathens, and he's trying to help them understand the difference between the law and the liberty that we have in Christ Jesus. And the law brings men into bondage. The law would be after the flesh. That's what he's established for us very plainly in chapter number 5. If you remember back, and the example, we've gone it over and over and over again, especially with going through the book of Genesis on Sunday morning, where we've established that it is not by the work of man, that would be the law. It's not by the work of Abraham and what Abraham could produce that God was going to give a promise, but it was by the seed of Sarah and Isaac that God was going to bring promise. And it had nothing to do with Abraham's works. It had all to do with God's ability to produce something in Abraham and through Abraham. And so we understand that when we are given to our flesh, we're not adding to anything to God by the works of our flesh. Only by the work of the Spirit can God get anything accomplished. And in fact, last time we were in the book of Galatians, Galatians in chapter number 5 and verse number 12. He says, I would that they were even cut off that would trouble you. He's so concerned with them that are teaching these false truths about the flesh of man and about the law and about the works of the law that he says that he wished they would be cut off. And if you remember, that would imply that he is desiring that they would not be able to reproduce themselves. God wants to produce things in us, and the Holy Spirit of God wants to work through us, but if we're going to be yielded to our flesh, and listen to me, you can be involved in religion, and you can be religious and still be yielded to your flesh. You can, and still be walking in your flesh. We're going to be looking at that. And these people were. They were religious people, but yet they were yielded to that which was of their flesh. And it did nothing for the cause of Christ. And so Paul said, I wish that they would be completely cut off and were unable to reproduce themselves, because what we don't need is men reproducing men, men in their flesh reproducing other men that are going to walk in their flesh. We need the Spirit of God doing what only the Spirit of God can do in men. Now, I want to be a positive influence in your life. I really do. I want to be someone that would help you to walk closer to God. And certainly you should strive to do the same thing. And you should strive to be the kind of person that the people around you are getting closer to God and are walking more in the Spirit of God. That should be every one of our desires. But understand with me, I can't put Christ in you. I can't do that. I can't impart unto you the Holy Spirit of God. I can simply just teach the truths of the Word of God. I can try to help you understand and learn. Hey, listen, if you want to walk in the Spirit, you're going to have to start doing this. You're going to have to stop doing that. And I can be pointing things out from the Word of God. But it's only by the power of God that you can have the Spirit of God in you. And it's only by the power of God that you can walk in the Spirit and be led of the Spirit. And that would be reproduced in you. Listen, would only be of God. As well. And that's what the Lord desires. And Paul begins to really establish distinct opposites here for us. In the end of chapter number 5 here, he establishes very distinct opposites. In fact, he says they're contrary. These two things are contrary to each other. The flesh and the spirit. They're very contrary one to another. I forgot to tell Alex and Sean, I need you to sit right up here on the front pew, because I'm going to need you here in just a moment. I forgot about that. So if you could go ahead and get moved, bring your Bible with you. You might be there a moment or two. But these two distinct opposites, the flesh and the spirit, and may I say this, you can have one or the other, but you cannot have both. You cannot have both. It's not as if you can just say, you know what, I want to be a Christian on one hand, but I also want to do what my flesh wants to do. That doesn't go together. They're so opposite. They're contrary the one to another. They're keeping, if you will, us from doing those things. It says in verse number 17, doing those things that ye would. So they don't go together. They, if you will, produce different things. My flesh produces different things than the Spirit of God will produce. That's why trying to be religious in my flesh is not necessarily the answer. Say, well, I am living in my flesh. I'm doing what my flesh wants to do. I'm doing what my flesh desires, but I'm still doing religious things. Therefore, I'm still producing that which is good. No. Listen to me. You'll either produce what your flesh can produce, or you will be yielded and allow the Spirit to produce in you that which the Spirit desires to have. The flesh, if you will, is in competition, if we can say it like that, with your spirit. There is a struggle that is going on, a war, if you will, that is going on within your members, that there is a competition there, that it is the flesh versus the spirit. If you'll notice back in verse number 13, he says, for brethren, again, referring to them as saved individuals, as people that know Christ, children of God, for brethren, if ye have been called unto liberty, only use not your liberty as an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. We have liberty in Christ Jesus. We've been set free in Christ Jesus, and we're not set free so that our flesh might continue to be pleased. No, we're set free that we might be able to serve one another. We're set free, and so he starts establishing this. It's not an occasion of the flesh, but as opposed to giving ourselves to occasions of our flesh, we serve That's the distinct opposite again that he's trying to help us draw here. Instead of being given to the flesh, we serve. We could say it like this: if we're going to be given to the flesh, we're doing things that are about us. If I'm given to the flesh, I'm doing things that are about me. I'm telling you, religious people do things for the purpose of it's what I want to do. They do things for the purpose of that which is pleasing unto them. I teach a Sunday school class because I enjoy sin. I don't think there's anything wrong with seeing children come to church or see children smile or making children happy. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But if our purpose is about what we're getting out of it, as opposed to what we're able to give to them in through serving them, then our purpose is of the flesh. And so really when we can boil down this competition between the flesh and the spirit down to me or you. Am I doing what I'm doing for me, or am I doing what I am doing for you? Am I doing what I am doing so that I might be a servant to others, or am I doing what I'm doing to be self-serving? There's a big difference there. There's a great difference there between that which would be service unto you and that which would be self-serving unto me, and that which would be pleasing of my flesh. There's a big difference. I go and I say, listen, Olivia, I want you to make some chocolate chip cookies because we can enjoy them together. You realize I'm not asking, come on, I know that's a simple little illustration. I'm not asking them for her benefit. Right? I want to enjoy some chocolate chip cookies. She does a great job of making them. I give her the opportunity and the privilege of making cookies for me. I'm such a wonderful dad. I gave her an opportunity to serve. But that's not what the Spirit's about. That's what the flesh is about. The flesh thinks like that. The spirit would be what she does and says, you know what? I love dad, and therefore I'm going to go ahead and make him chocolate chip cookies and make mom upset, you know? So, but do we see the difference between you and me? And that's what Paul's establishing here with him is you have a religion that's about you. It's what you want to do. It's what you think. It's how you feel. It's the direction you want to go. You think the law makes sense to you. The works of the law make you feel good. And so therefore, it's not about what God desires for your life. It's not about what God would lead you in your life. It's not about anything else other than your own self-service, and you're calling it a religion. But true religion is going to be about others. Being led of the Spirit is going to cause me to be concerned not primarily with what I want, but it's with what others want. That's the main problem with modern day religion today. It's all about what I want. And people go searching for church, and people go searching for preachers, and people go searching for fellowship based on what they want and not at all what is led of the Spirit. What does God want for me? Where is God leading? What is God directing? In our state fellowship, I try to be preached to. I understand my need of being taught from the Word of God, of being built up from the Word of God, edified from the Word of God. And here a few months ago, someone came up with the idea, and they said, listen, I think in order to make our meetings better when we get together, and what I think would be helpful is if we could all submit ideas on what we'll have a meeting about, and then we'll choose who has the best ideas or what ideas we like the best. And that's the meeting that we'll have. And it's not just anybody that wants to host a meeting. It's what we choose. And that was just an idea that was thrown out there. And one preacher just raised his hand. He says, I think that's a terrible idea. And he said, well, why do you think it's a terrible idea? He said, because I wouldn't recommend that for anybody in my church, that they should go and pick and choose what they want to hear, but rather that they should come and have find what the Spirit of God and how the Spirit of God has led me throughout the week in study. It's a dangerous place for someone to be in their religion where they're going to desire and pick and choose what they want to hear and what sounds good to them and what they desire, as opposed to allowing the Spirit of God to be their teacher and to be their guide and to be their instructor. My friend, that's a very, very dangerous place that most of religion has gotten to, and they're looking for the entertainment that pleases them, and they're looking for the activity that pleases them, and they're looking for the preaching that that pleases them, and we're missing the point, and we're completely in our religion given over to our flesh, because it is not about me, it's about my service to you. That's what religion's about. Not about how I am being pleased, but how am I serving others? That's exactly what verse number 13. But by love, serve one another. Not pleasing your flesh. And he goes a step further in verse number 14. He says, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love thy neighbor as self. This is, of course, the great commandment, as Christ was talking to his disciples. He said, listen, he said, you need to love God with all your whole heart, soul, and your mind. It's a great commandment. And the second is like unto it, love thy neighbor as thyself. And we've gone over this before, but let me just reiterate that I can't do one without the other. If I have a love for God, it's going to be manifest in my love for others. It will be manifest. And if I have a love for others, it's only because I have a proper love for God. They go hand in hand. One can't happen without the other. And it's also, we understand this according to the Word of God, that everyone's my neighbor. Even that dirty rat you call a neighbor, he's your neighbor. Come on. And you're that family member that you don't really care for, they're your neighbor. And the person across the aisle, they're your neighbor. And we understand the concept here of God, of Paul just trying to reiterate the importance of us understanding that this is not this life and the things of religion and the things of walking in the Spirit are not about me, it's about others. Christ did not come, God did not send Christ to this earth so he could please himself. It's not what he was sent here for. That's entirely the opposite of the whole purpose of why Christ came and what God was trying to do. It wasn't anything to do with him. It was everything to do for us. It was everything to do for you and for me. He got nothing out of the deal. He got nothing out of the deal. He did nothing but give, and in giving he showed love, and in love he showed it to all men. And I'm telling you, if we could just stop and say, man, let's base what Christ got out of it off of you. How many of you say, man, God really, he got the better end of the deal? I mean, gave up his life, he submitted himself unto death, even the death of the cross, and I'm telling you, it really paid off for him. I have been such a good substitute for his life, what he's done for me. Listen, none of us would be able to stop and say, man, God got the better end of the deal. But that's just the point that Paul's trying to make, is that, listen, God didn't send us, has not sent us so that what we, God has not allowed us to come into this, did not allow himself to come into this earth for what he was getting out of it, but because he loved this world, he came. And therefore he sends you and I. We've been chosen to go forth and to show the love of God. And then in verse number 15, if we'll choose to walk in the flesh or feed the flesh, listen, we will devour one another. We'll devour one another. One wants to act in pride, and another person acts out in pride again, and one person has a snide comment, and another person responds with a snide comment, and one person does something rude to another. And so generally, understand with me, it's not the Spirit of God that's going to, not generally, it's never going to be the Spirit of God that when somebody does something wrong to you that you respond in kind. I'm telling you, that's a very childish way to act. I'll let you ride around with my children for an afternoon, and you can find out how childish a way that is to act. The other day, I had to look at a couple of them and said, man, you guys are making your mother so proud right now. Because, well, if you're going to do that, then I'm going to do this. And if you're going to act like that, then I'm going to act like this. And what is it that's childishness, is it not? And there's no part of it that we'd stop and go, my goodness, just look at how yielded they are to the Spirit of God, trying to get even with one another. And when one hits the other hits him back. When one takes one's toy, he doesn't just take it back. He takes it back and he hits him in the back of the head with it. You know, and that, come on, they devour one another. And that's exactly how, listen, saved people can act that way. We talked in Sunday school, we're not devoid of pride just because we got saved. We're not, the flesh didn't die just because I chose Christ. But listen, if I'm going to continue to choose Christ, I'm going to get further and further and further away from the acts of the flesh. But if we're not careful, we can be religious and we can still act out in our flesh. And Paul's just real clear. That's one real quick way to just see yourself devoured, to destroy yourselves, is to continue to act in the flesh and at the same time call it religion. And he gets to verse number 16 and he's very clear that this is the answer. If we're not going to devour one another, the answer is clear. Walk in the Spirit and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Don't fulfill the, it means to complete, to execute, to perform. You're not going to be doing those things that are of the flesh if you're walking in the Spirit. So listen, we can stop and say, okay, the opposite then is true of that. If I'm walking in the flesh, I'm not going to what? Fulfill the things that are of the Spirit. Come on, if I can't fulfill the things of the flesh by walking in the Spirit, the opposite of that has to be true as well. That if I'm in the flesh, I can't fulfill the things of the Spirit of God. My flesh is so strong, I want to get free from it, but I can't seem to have victory. That's where a lot of people live. I just can't seem to get over the hump. And this is where many people struggle. How do I walk in the Spirit? How do I stop performing the works of my flesh? I mean, where's the secret formula? Where do I sign up for that? Because that's what I want. I just can't see the performing of it done. How do I get victory in the Spirit? Well, look at verse number 16 again. This I say then, walk in the Spirit. All right, no, really, give us the special magic potion that makes it happen. There's not one. There's not one. It's simply a choice that you make. Listen, it's just kind of the same choice that I make every time I'm talking to my children and they've disobeyed and they haven't done right they're on my last nerve. Come on. I make a choice how I respond. And guess what? I don't always respond correctly. I don't. It's kind of like that when I go ahead and I'm yielded to I'm going to correct them. I'm going to scold them. I want them. Listen, I could choose to respond and stop and go, you know what? I have done this before. Listen, I'll be right back because I've got to go pray about this situation. I could choose to do that. I've made that choice before. But I've also been so foolish as to chastise them probably beyond measure of what's deserved. Well, it's just good parenting. No. It's parenting in the flesh. It's what it is. It's parenting in the flesh. And you say, well, what's going to be the result? Well, the result's going to be it's going to devour that child. It's not ultimately not going to build them up and edify them. It's going to devour them. I'm just so grateful God's long-suffering, isn't He? I mean, could you imagine if God was our Heavenly Father, parented like most earthly fathers? I tell you, we'd be devoured. And listen to me, every time we choose to act in the flesh, whether it be with our spouse, whether it be with our children, whoever it might just be that person we go to church with. Listen, when we choose to respond in the flesh, and we choose to respond in a fleshly manner, all we're doing is devouring. But understand with me, every time, it's not like I had no control over the situation. I had control over the situation. I chose to allow my flesh to have control as opposed to responding in the Spirit. The flesh will react. The flesh reacts. Something happens and I'm going to react. The Spirit responds. The Spirit is a responsive, has a responsive nature. Problem? Okay, this is how we take care of a problem. Someone has a wrong attitude, and someone says something that is inappropriate. Someone says something that's hurtful. Well, I can choose to react and say something hurtful back, or I can choose to respond and say, you know what? I'm sorry. I didn't realize I'd ruined your whole life by making the decision. And some of it's just some of the most simple things in the world. Someone did something that you didn't approve of. Someone said something that you took the wrong way. And we really have the decision. How am I going to respond? In my flesh to devour, or am I going to respond in my spirit to serve in love? How am I going to respond? You realize they're very opposite of one another. How do I get victory then in this area? How do I walk in the Spirit? How do I be led in the Spirit as opposed to the flesh working and being led of the flesh? It's just as easy. I'm not oversimplifying it. We have to walk in the Spirit. You're not acting like you're walking in the Spirit. No, we're walking in the Spirit. We're finding out how would Christ respond here. I'm not trying to make it oversimplified to what WWJD bracelet that we need to put on. I don't have a problem with that. I'm just saying. But that's literally what walking in the Spirit is all about. Is me deciding I'm going to make choices based on what the Spirit of God would do. How would Christ respond? When faced with trouble, how did Christ respond? When faced with snide remarks and Christ got them, how did he respond? When faced with people that didn't like him, how did Christ respond? We have a great example of how to respond if we'll follow it. I had someone the other day that sent me a picture of Christ running the money changers out of the temple, and it says, "If you're asking what Jesus would do, just realize that this is not outside the realm of possibility." Now listen to me. That doesn't mean that we all float around like angels. And we're just, what would Jesus do? Oh, that's not what we're talking about. Like we're powder puff girls, you know, just floating around I'm never going to hurt anybody's feelings. Listen, if you'll go ahead and stand for righteousness, and if you'll go ahead and respond with the word of God, understand with me, angry people tend to get angrier when you don't respond in anger. Come on. People that are given to anger, people that are given to being quarrelsome, people that are contentious, when they don't get that response out of you, they don't know how to respond. They just don't. And the response that you'll get is not that they're going to be, oh, well, man, they're just not responding to my anger. They're not getting angry. They're not mimicking or mirroring what I'm showing them. Generally, it's going to invoke more action. When you say, you know what, the Word of God just says this. No, I'm not saying that you just have to have some flowery, over spiritual attitude, over zealous spiritual feeling about you, where you just are annoying to everybody. I think there's a lot of people that act over spiritual. Walking in the Spirit of God is not an act. It's a way of life. It's a choice I make. Just like, listen, walking your flesh, that's not an act either. That's really who you are. You're not putting on an act when you're walking in your flesh. And God's not calling you to put on an act. God's just asking you to allow Him to have control of your life. He's not saying that, listen, you're going to be a little cookie cutter Christian, and everybody, we're all going to be exactly the same. No. But God, through you, desires to have His Spirit working in your life and through your life so that your response is not of the flesh, but is of the Spirit. That's what God's desire is. It's a war that's going on. And I can't have it both ways. I can't. Boys, come up here. I can't, on one hand, Alex, you be the Spirit. Sean will be the flesh. Grab my arms. Grab my arms. Grab them. Pull. Listen, this is literally what's going on. They're contrary, the one to the other. And we're going to have this pulling going on in our life and this stretching. Now, don't rip my shirt. Your mother will be mad. Grab my hand. All right, there's this pulling that's going on. And I'm going to have to make a choice. And a lot of people just choose to stay right here. Well, I'm going to still respond in my flesh, but I do want the Spirit of God. Come on, and I think it's a sincere desire. But there's this pulling, there's this contrary, and we don't want to give in to the flesh, but at times, we do. But then there's times when, we get it all right and we're back over here walking with God, But then the flesh just seems to keep pulling. And the flesh just, it seems to be a constant battle. Hold on, I'm getting tired. Now, here's the thing. If you think you can do both, you're fooling yourself according to verse number 17. If you think you can hold on to the things of this flesh, and you can hold on to your pride, and you can hold on to your self, and you can hold on to your arrogance, and at the same time be fully surrendered to the Spirit of God, you're fooling yourself. But where you're going to have to choose is, listen, sorry, but I can't walk with you anymore. I can't allow that. You know a lot of relationships, honestly, that where we've responded in the flesh and where we've acted in the flesh, they simply are healed as so simply, but we're just so still too given to our flesh that we don't want to say the words, "I'm sorry." Well, that'd be a spiritual thing to do. That'd be a Spirit-led thing to do. We don't want to forgive. Therefore, we don't forgive. Well, we don't really want to give up that vice. Therefore, we don't give up that vice. Well, we really want God, though. We do desire to have God. We do want to be a Christian. We do want to walk with the Lord. But it's so hard, though, to say goodbye to, who I am. I mean, this is who I am. These might be some things that I've been involved in for a long time. These might be activities or friends, or this might be some of the things I cherish the most in this world. And it kind of gets to the story of the rich young ruler, where he goes to Christ and he says, "Listen," "what must I do to go to heaven?" And Jesus said to him, "Listen, you need to sell all that." He said, "What scripture saith?" And he said, "Well, the scripture says that I need to keep the law, and I've kept the law from my youth up. I've done everything. I've fully met the righteous demands of the law." And we know that's not true. Only Christ met the righteous demands of the law. All men fall short of the glory of God. But he thought he had, and Christ looked at him and said, "Okay, one thing you lack. Go sell all that you have. Give it to the poor." Uh-oh, it revealed one of the laws that he had broken. Because the Bible says he had great wealth. And in his heart, he was so covetous of his wealth, which is one of the laws, isn't it? Thou shalt not covet. He wouldn't let go of his flesh to even possess eternal life. There's a lot of people like that. But there's also, I'm telling you, there's a lot of religious people that they don't want to let go of little things in their flesh. And sometimes it's some of the most small things that there are. We don't want to let go of little things in our flesh so that we can fully walk in the Spirit. And yet we always wonder, man, why is it that I just can't get over this thing? Well, it's because I'm telling you, it's because we haven't just decided, you know what, I'm walking with the Spirit. It's not a matter of, man, I've got to, and I know the Bible talks about crucifying your flesh, but get this, Paul's been over and over and over in the book of Galatians teaching about, listen, it's not about your works. It's not about what you can do. It's about what I can do. I'm literally going to have to make a choice that there are some things I'm not going to do any longer because they're of the flesh. And I'm telling you, we all struggle with them. Be it anger, be it some vice of this world that has control over us, be it pride. We all struggle with areas of the flesh, areas where we're going to have to stop and say, you know what? I'm not going to respond that way this time. I'm not going to get angry this time. I'm not going to, whatever it is, I'm not going to allow my flesh to have control of the situation. I'm going to walk in the Spirit. And when it gets down to it, it's a word that, man, it's a hard word. It's called discipline. It's what it's called. If I'm going to walk in the spirit as opposed to the flesh, because I can't walk in the with the two. No, don't do it again. I can't walk with the two of them. I'm going to get pulled apart, and I'm going to get pulled in both directions, and I can't accomplish what the Spirit of God would want me to accomplish. I can't have it both ways. I'm going to either walk in my flesh or I'm going to walk in the Spirit, and it comes down to me simply choosing to be led, as verse number 18, to be led of the Spirit. To allow the Spirit of God to be my guide. That's what it's going to amount to. Walk with me. Let me get to my notes. When I choose the Spirit, it's going to lead me to have to start asking questions. When I'm with the flesh, I know how to be in my flesh. Amen. I know how to, I don't have to ask any questions. My feelings have been hurt, I know how to respond. I see that cake, I know how to respond. Amen? I know how to, I don't have to say, well, man, what do we do in this situation? I blow up, I get angry. I yell, I scream, I throw things. I just never talk to that person again. They've wronged me. I'm done with them. When I'm going to walk with the Spirit, I'm going to have to start asking some questions. Questions like, I wonder if I do this, would that be considered loving? The fruit of the Spirit, and we're not going to get all the way over there tonight because of time. I've cut some things. We're not going to get there. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Verse number 22, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there's no law. So if I do this, am I acting? Lord, would this be how one would respond in love? Lord, I need to respond here. How can I do that in a loving manner? Will this show love to my neighbor? If I go ahead and, I mean, the fence fell down and it's his fence and I just turn around and just throw it on his yard, you know, because it's his fence and it fell down in my yard. Well, their dog keeps going to the bathroom in my yard. I'm just going to throw it at his house next time. I'm not kidding. I know a preacher who had a neighbor who had a dog that got into it. I'm talking about a preacher. Neighbor had a dog that broke into his chicken coop, and he told the neighbor, if it does it again, I'm going to kill your dog. I'm going to kill your dog. And listen, he has legal right to do so. All right? And so the dog got back into his chicken coop. And he didn't just kill the dog. He slit the dog's throat and threw it on the neighbor's porch. Now, how do you think next time we have friend day, they're going to receive an invitation? He had another person. He had a guy who every morning went running with his dog. And he's telling me this. He said he'd stop every morning. He'd go to the bathroom right in my yard. And the runner, he'd just stand there and jog and watch him do it. He said, and he went out in the morning. He said, listen, your dog does that one more time, I'm going to kill it. And understand with me, he got so angry about this, he literally got up one morning, he was waiting in the bushes with his gun, and he shot the guy's dog and killed it in his yard. He was justifiably legal to do so. He was in the county. Didn't live inside the city limits. But now they had PETA out in front of their church, and he just doesn't understand all these crazy PETA members. I'm sitting there going, how in the world do you not understand all the crazy PETA members? I might go join them for crying out loud. And listen to me, we can get so placed to where we're so trying to justify our actions and try to act like we're spiritual and we're justified in what we're doing. And they have nothing to do with, God wouldn't pull out a gun and shoot somebody's dog. But our flesh would. Our flesh sure would. Will this promote peace in my life? I got to make a decision. I've got to make a choice. I need to stop and go, okay, is this going to allow the peace of God to be active in my life? I'm telling you, people struggle with how to walk in the Spirit. And it's because our actions, we're not asking the right questions. We're just doing what we feel is right to do. We're feeling what's convenient. We're doing what would be the least path of resistance. Instead of stopping and asking questions of the Spirit of God that wants to communicate with us. And listen, wants to lead us. And Paul's instruction is this: walk in the Spirit, verse number 16. Verse number 18, be led of the Spirit. How should I respond here? I mean, come on, every day you probably have someone that comes into you and they respond inappropriately. What am I supposed to, how am I supposed to respond to this activity? How am I supposed to respond to this individual? What would be the right thing for me to do? And instead of just making choices because we feel like we're on deadlines, we're supposed to be being led of the Spirit, not our flesh. Sometimes we need to allow the Spirit of God time where the world is really pushing. And I'm telling you, if you get pushed into a corner and you feel like, man, I'm waiting on the Spirit of God to lead me, and I know the Spirit of God wants to lead me, and I want to be led of the Spirit of God, sometimes you're just going to have to tell this world no. You'll say, well, the world just doesn't wait for the Spirit of God. That might be true because the world's operating in the flesh, but I'm telling you, child of God, you sure should. You should be led by none other influence, either your own flesh or the flesh of others. The only spirit thing you should be led of is of the Spirit of God. And you stop and you say, well, are you talking like God has the answers for everything? You're telling me He doesn't? Well, you're acting like every circumstance in life, in every situation, in every relationship, that God's going to lead me? Yes! Well, how do you know that? Well, because I don't think Paul would have put verse 16 and verse 17 in the Word of God for us of the leadership of the Holy Spirit if it couldn't be done. If it couldn't be done. But I can't walk in the Spirit and the flesh at the same time. But God always does want to lead me. Are you with me? I can't do both. But I do have a Heavenly Father that desires by His Spirit to lead me. So I can either ask those questions or I can just tell myself, well, you deserve this. It's my flesh. By Spirit. Just tell myself, come on. I deserve this. Everyone should be serving me and meeting my needs. I feel good. It feels good to me. I'm just going to roll with it. I'm living for today. I'll react and I'll lash out every time someone crosses me. What I think, who cares what you this? It's what I think. Who cares what you think? I don't know what to do, but I've got to get something done. Listen, we're either going to live in the Spirit of God, or we're going to live in our flesh. There's nowhere in Scripture, nowhere in Scripture that we would ever say, listen, you got your flesh and what are you going to do about it? Just grab a hold of the Spirit of God and just do the best you can. No. Paul's real clear, verse 17. Let's show him again. Now you're supposed to pull. No, this is the life of that kind of mentality. It's contrary. I'll never get what I should done accomplished. All right, stop. Stop. I'll never get what I should done accomplished. I cannot do both. But I can be led of the Spirit. Sit down, boys. Real quickly. I'm endeavoring to read this book. It's by retired Navy SEAL Jocko Wilken. Wilnick, I'm sorry. And it's called Discipline Equals Freedom. Discipline equals freedom. And so he makes this statement in it. And it's not a Christian book. He's a motivational speaker, but I'm trying to be more disciplined, okay? And he says this: don't expect to be motivated every day to get out there and make things happen. You won't be motivated every day. Don't count on motivation. Count on discipline. Count on discipline. You can choose to be disciplined, or you can choose to be pulled apart. You say, well, how do I choose discipline? Well, it's not just this power of the mind and I'm going to be a better person now and I'm going to be my best me now. No. It's as simple as this. And this is not oversimplified. It's just this simple. Lord, I'm going to search your scripture. And I'm going to see what it is that you would want for me to do. I'm going to find your promises. I'm going to find your word. I'm going to be led of your word. Come on, this isn't kindergarten Christianity. This is right where we live. And the illustration of people being pulled apart in two different directions is very, very real in most people's lives, most Christians' lives. And it's just this simple. Lord, I need the answer, and I know your word's got it. I'm convinced that your word has the answer. I'm convinced that you desire to lead me. I'm convinced that you can get me through this trial. I'm convinced that you can get me through this circumstances. I'm convinced that by your spirit, I can forgive. I'm convinced that by your spirit, I can make this thing right. It's simply me stopping and going, God, what would you have me to do here? God, what would be the proper response? Lord, you said that the fruit of the Spirit is long-suffering, and you know how I want to respond right now. Lord, could you teach me how to be long-suffering? Could you help me? Because I struggle being long-suffering. Lord, I want to walk in joy. I don't want to walk in temporary happiness. And listen to me, this world is just given over to temporary happiness. I truly want the joy of the Lord in my life. I want to be good to people. And I'm not always good to people. Lord, how can I show goodness to this person? How can I show goodness to that person? It's simply me communicating with God. It's not some magic formula, all right, do this X, Y, Z to your flesh and your flesh will be gone. And you'll never have to worry about that thing anymore. No, it's simply me waking up in the morning and choosing, all right, I'm going to walk in the Spirit today. I'm going to be led of the Spirit today. And around 10 o'clock, I'm going to choose again. You know what? I'm not going to respond in my flesh. I'm going to choose. I know that God would not have me respond in that manner. I know that God would not let me go there or not desire for me to go there. I know that God would not want me to be doing that. So I'm going to make a spiritual decision as opposed to what my flesh wants to do. And then probably around noon and 12:30 and 12:45. Well, what do you call that? Well, that's just discipline. And I'm going to continue to choose to be led of the Spirit. And continue. But here's the thing. This is a great promise of God. I'm going to say this and we'll be done. We have the promise of God that when we draw nigh to the Lord, then that's what following the Spirit is drawing nigh to God. When we draw nigh to Him, what's He do? He draws nigh unto us. And that's going to be difficult. It might be very difficult. Day after day after day. There's going to become a point, though, where it's going to become a part of our nature. Well, how is that? Because Christ is transforming us. Yes. Come on, Romans 12. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. And as I make choices based upon the promises of the Word of God and the instruction of the Word of God and the leading of the Spirit of God, then listen to me, those choices are going to get easier and easier and easier because there's a transformation taking place to where no longer is it my flesh that is leading, but it's the Spirit of God that's leading. You say, how long does that take? I can't. There's not a time stamp you can put on it. But I'll tell you this, I've been walking with the Lord for 20 years. You know what I still have to tell myself over and over again? Listen, you can't walk like that. You can't act like that. That wouldn't be of the Spirit of God. You can't live like this. This wouldn't be what the Word of God would be promoting. This would not be godly behavior. I've been saved for 20 years. Still having to tell myself that. Brother Roby, how long have you been saved? 66. Are there times, 66 years you've been saved. Are there still times when you have to tell your flesh? A long time. Longer than I've been alive, you've been saved. Amen. Every day. Oh, wow. So after 60 years, we're still having to stop and go, you know what? I'm not going to respond in my flesh. Listen to me. It's not because Brother Roby, man, he must be really ungodly. No, it's because the flesh of man is real. But I can't. But I'll tell you, greater than that is the Spirit of God. Amen. And I'm going to choose which one I'll be led of. I'm going to choose which one I'll be led of. I don't always make the right choices. But here's the great thing. God's long-suffering. God's very forgiving. And God's so forgetful. And I'm real glad about it. He's very forgetful. And God's very loving. And I can make a choice. Listen, just because I walked in my flesh, I can still do right. And I can still get in my face before God and seek the mercy of God. And I can still go to my wife and I can seek her mercy as well. I can go to my children. I can go to that individual. I've had to go to individuals, lost people, and just say, listen, I responded poorly. And I need you to forgive me. That's not exactly at all how I should have responded. Come on. You say, well, what are you doing? Well, I'm just choosing that. Listen, I'm not going to allow the flesh to have control. I'm going to choose to walk in the Spirit and to be led of the Spirit. You say, Pastor, it'd be so much easier if there was some mystical, magical formula. There's just not. You walk in the flesh, you walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of your flesh. But if you're going to walk in your flesh, listen, you're not going to fulfill the will of the Spirit either. It's our choice to make. It's simply as simple as that. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed this evening.